This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn Mark, Roshan Kanisan and Wong Shaoning joining us through the miracle that is technology. It is 7:07 in the morning, Monday the 14th of December. And in about 15 minutes, we're going to be speaking with Sri Muniarthi Yusuf, Research Manager at IDEAS, on the Auditor's General Report. So before that, though, we are taking a look at the markets.
It was a mixed day on the Friday close for the US markets. The Dow Jones was up 0.2%, but the other two major indices were in the red. The S&P was down 0.1%, the NASDAQ was down 0.2%. And we take a look at some of the market movers on the S&P. Walt Disney had a really good day. It was up just under 14% on the back of a lot of streaming news. I think it was Investors Day for Walt Disney that day, and they announced a lot of content for the streaming service Disney Plus, which has been one of those weak spots for that service, right? So I think a lot of optimism. Other movers include Etsy, that was up 3%, and Equifax was up about 2.6%. On the reverse side, though, Qualcomm weighed down the market. It was down 7.4%.
Yes, and in Asian markets as well, it was pretty mixed. The Nikkei was down 0.4%, the Hang Seng up 0.4%, the Kospi up 0.9%, the Shanghai Composite down 0.7%, the STI down just in the red 0.1%, while the FBMK LCI rose 1.8%.
Choppy markets, to say the least there, Lynn.
Indeed, and so for more insight into these global markets, this morning we are speaking with Stephen Innes, Global Market Strategist at Axie. Stephen, thank you so much for joining us. Now, why did U.S. equities fall even after the FDA advisory panel approved the use of Pfizer's vaccine? What are the factors that are affecting risk sentiment here on Wall Street?
I think it was just positioning ahead of a possible global risk reset in case the Brexit discussions went sideways over the weekend. I think we've seen the can-kicking procedures, which seem to always result after these discussions, sort of assuage markets. Worst case fears right now, however, I still think it's going to pose a significant risk until this deal gets done. The other news is obviously we've seen the FDA approve the vaccine, and we're starting to see those vaccines roll out from the Kalamazoo headquarters of Pfizer, and also airlines have stepped up and offered distribution for unused plane cargoes. And this suggests that a lot of hurdles are getting overcome, and the markets are sort of recovering again from position squaring into the weekend.
Stephen, while we're talking about travel, Airbnb listed over the weekend, right, or just before the weekend started. Let's try and compare. So let's take a look at this US IPO mania that we're seeing and compare it with the previous dot-com bubble about two decades ago at this point. Should investors who've put their money into DoorDash or Airbnb be concerned? I mean, they have different headwinds and tailwinds. What do you think about this?
Yeah, I think anybody that was trading back in 1999 has probably felt some sort of nostalgia watching the IPOs go off last week. It's fairly impressive. But one of the things I caution about, similar to what happened in the dot-com bubble, is that the reality usually sets in a couple of months later when the IPOs flopped. I'm very, very concerned about the propensity of retail traders to jump in on these moves. That's really where most of the issues coming. But, you know, the real worries here is when the four horsemen come riding in with OPEC stocks and their saddlebags. And I get really worried about that at some point. And, you know, the way everything moves at hyperspeed in 2020, I don't think 2020 at 21 is going to be any different. So, you know, let the new year countdown begin to retail-driven call option buying splurge on the high techs. Again, I expect that to happen. But I think we're going to run into some obstacles from Main Street early in 2021. I'm nowhere near as bullish as the market is out of the gates this year. But, you know, you have to respect price action momentum continue to take the tape higher. So it's really difficult fighting it. I just rather would sit back and just enjoy the holiday season without worrying about having to add any more risk at the top of the markets. That's sort of the concern I'm providing out to our current client group.
So AstraZeneca's $39 billion takeover deal of Alexion is also seems to herald the return of big M&A deals in healthcare. What is Astra's value proposition for doing the deal, in your opinion, Stephen?
Well, you know, they've just got a lot of money sitting around. If you look at the way the stocks have appreciated so much, they're just idle cash. And they've got to put that money to work. Otherwise, they're just wasting it. So I think we're going to continue to see that event where the mega are going to take over the smaller. It's just an unfortunate sign. My concern is these M&A activities usually end up in more job cuts. So it's a bit of a worrying sign as the big takes over the small, and then the small people have to go looking for jobs again. We really don't need that at the moment. But if those jobs are still guaranteed on the takeover, at least for a year, I think it sort of lessens those concerns. But I still think it's something to keep an eye on. But ultimately, you know, it's great for stockholders, great for investors. And I think this is what's going to continue to drive the tape higher in early 2021.
Yeah, that's always the thing when it comes to M&As and consolidation, right, Stephen? There's always going to be some form of, or possibly the job cuts or streamlining of operations at the very least. But, you know, we take a look and peer into that crystal ball of yours. Do you foresee more accretive deals in the healthcare sector, especially on the back of all the activity we're seeing?
Yeah, of course. I just, you know, I think it's just the start of something bigger. And I think the most interesting part, again, is getting back to the, you know, a lot of these companies own their own stocks, and, you know, the colossal gains we've had over this year, what are they going to do with the money? It's easy to say, well, why don't you just reinvest that capital back into your own company? But it's a lot easier to take over companies that are in areas that they don't actually, that the current companies don't actually specialize in. So if they want to advance and if they want to move into the sort of the new age, why not take over these little specialized places that have unique features, saves them building up those areas. And I think this is what we're going to continue to see going forward. Unfortunately, again, you know, it's going to cause job losses, and that's the problem. But in the meantime, you know, if you're an investor in some of these companies, it's going to look quite favorable for the next little while.
And Stephen, the Aussie dollar has been on fire recently, surging past the US 75 cents resistance level. What's driving support for the currency here? And where do you see the short-term range for it?
You know, it's not much of a surprise, really. The market's thinking that the copper wires are going to envelope the world multiple times. And I think this is really what's driving the markets right now, is the fact that we're going to have a huge wave of infrastructure building. So all these copper wires are going to get needed. Looking at the commodity sector in China, that continues to fire up. In other words, that China needs more iron ore from Australia, but also there's some supply constraints, which is also weighing on that. My feeling is it's the Aussie is making into a new range. We'll probably see it trade between 74 and 77 going into the new year. My concern is that whether this is sustainable. What I'm referring to is the commodity lift is sustainable, because there's a lot of good in the price right now. I mean, when you're making record highs of all time, I mean, something is going to have to give, especially if we start to see those supply constraints start to be mended. And that would probably put a bit of a top on commodity prices. So, yeah, I think the going's good right now for all commodities. But I think when we get into the new year, I think that reflation trade may give away a little bit. But that's a contrarian view, mind you, at the moment. Most banks out there and most analysts are really looking for the Aussie to trade up towards 80 early in 2021.
All right, let's talk about 2021 a little bit more there, Stephen. How are you positioning your portfolio heading into the new year?
Well, it's hard. Again, it's hard to fight a lot of this momentum plays right now. And again, on the commodity sector, it's also hard to fight. But I think, you know, defensive strategies are probably going to be the easiest to stay in with. In other words, I continue to like the tech, although tech is defensive. That sounds a bit weird, but I continue to like tech, especially over in the Asia side of the equation, because I'm really, really thinking we're getting into this super tech cycle in Asia. So looking for undervalued stocks in the region around the techs, especially the small tech companies, again, that are prime takeover candidates. And this is really what where the search is really going to evolve in my view. So that's where I'm sort of turning my focus into the year end and into the new year.
All right. Thank you very much for speaking with us this morning, Stephen. Been a pleasure having you. That was Stephen Innes, global market strategist at Axie, with his thoughts on where global markets are headed in 2021. He's a bit of a tech bull. Shanning, what were your thoughts on what Stephen had to say?
Well, I think what was interesting was Stephen was very much trying to be the humanist, which is rather unusual for investors, because he was worried that with M&A deals, there would be job cuts. But the reality is, with interest rates so low, everybody's looking for deals. And on top of that, at the same time, it's much faster and much cheaper in the longer term, maybe, to buy over a company, a form of inorganic growth, than rather start this greenfield project on your own.
Yeah, definitely. And also the other one about the Aussie dollar was quite interesting, right? The way copper is going to wrap the world and it, all that infrastructure development is bullish on the Aussie dollar. But we could see that start to taper off and a top on commodity prices if they get through those supply constraints. Very similar to the rubber glove industry, if you think about it.
Yeah, so Stephen's expectation for the Aussie dollar was, I think, trading between a 74 to 77 range. And we're going to be watching that quite closely. But right now we are about to head into some messages. And up next, speaking with Sri Munirati Yusuf, Research Manager at IDEAS on the Auditor General's report. Stay tuned, PFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.